We'll just review for just a moment, but I'm going to finish out the notes that you had from last week. Now, if you weren't here last week, we can get you another copy of the notes if you need those. And what I'll do is I'll post a PDF copy also on the church website so that you can go back to lesson number 3. If you'll look on there on the website under lesson number 3, you'll see it posted on there in the next few days. And I've got it such to where I can make it a fillable PDF for you too, and that way you're able to fill in the blanks. But if you don't have notes tonight, if you'll just take notes, I'm going to give you the main points just to remind you about what we're talking about. We're dealing with this matter of adding to our faith. We're talking about growth in the Christian life. Did you know this, that God has a plan for you and me? He has a plan for us to be conformed to the image of Christ, and I'm so thankful for that, that the Lord has a plan for me and He has a plan for you. And in various places in the New Testament, God has enumerated for us in a way that we can understand how that plan is to take place. And so He's given us all the pieces. He's given us all the tools. As Peter puts it here, He's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. So we're made wise unto salvation by the Word of God. And guess what? We continue to grow as Christians in and through the application of the Word of God in our lives. It's not just good enough to be hearers of the Word, but you know, as James says, we must be doers of the Word as well. And so when we talk about taking in the Word of God, there must be an application of what it is that we're learning. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I want you to think about this. As many as came to the altar on Sunday, how are you doing in applying this matter of prayer? How are you doing in being faithful in your prayer life? You think about that. And as I told you before, if for some reason you get off a day or so, just instead of getting all upset about it, get in there and get started again the very next day. Just get back to it. And so we want you to be involved in this matter of prayer. What we're dealing with here in this third lesson is what's entitled The Virtuous Life. The Virtuous Life. Would you look in with me in verse number 3? We're going to read verse 3 through 5 and then pray, and then I'll give you the major points and where we stopped at leading up to the second and third point. But notice with me in 2 Peter chapter 1 in verse number 3, the Bible says this: according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. And besides this, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we camp out for just a little bit on this matter of virtue, would you help us to understand that really a part and parcel with the Christian life is that we're not saved to just sit sour and soak, but Lord, you saved us to courageously do what's right day in and day out. Father, help us to understand that you have a plan for our lives. And Father, that plan isn't just okay, it is great. It is a marvelous plan, and Father, it's one that only you could design for us. And Lord, you've given us what we need to be able to make right choices in this world. Father, you've empowered us by the indwelling power of thy Spirit to be able to courageously make right choices. And by these things, Lord, there's no doubt that your word tells us that we'll live as children of light, and Father, folks around us will know it, that we're different from those who are lost and without Christ. And Lord, that in itself would perhaps be a thing that draws them to yourself. And so, Father, I pray, Lord, we would be a bunch of Christians here at this local church who courageously do what's right. Help us to understand that. And then, Father, I also pray, Lord, once again, if there's somebody here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, Father, help them to understand that they cannot courageously do what's right until they've taken the very first step, which is to trust in Christ as their personal Savior. And so, Father, if there's someone that's lost that's here this night, oh, Lord, they may be able to tell everybody else that they're not, but they, I believe they'll know it, Father, by your work in their life to reveal that. And, of course, you know their status before you. And so, Father, if there's one like that, help them to understand that they're lost and undone and in need of Christ. And, Father, I pray that maybe tonight they would courageously do what's right by receiving Christ as their Savior. So, Lord, would you help us to add to our faith? Add to our faith this night. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. And so, as I said last week, that in the New Testament specifically, many places there's a description in how we're to grow in the Christian life. And I'm thankful for that, because this is the roadmap or the game plan that God has for you and I. And so it gives us understanding. It helps us to know how we're to go about this thing. And the fact of the matter is without this knowledge that God has given to us in His Word, we would probably go about it all the wrong way. Just knowing my own sinful flesh, I'd try and use the strength of my own flesh to bring these things about, and I would be completely frustrated and understand that it was an impossibility for me to do so. Paul said it this way in Ephesians chapter 6. He says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong." Now notice the last part is important, "in the Lord." Some people attempt to just be strong, but friend, can I tell you, it's a futile thing to try and be strong without the Lord. And so Paul says, hey, at the end of that spiritual warfare chapter in Ephesians chapter number 6, after talking about putting on the armor of God, he says, listen, we need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of, listen, His might. You know, say, what's the secret of our strength? The secret of our strength is looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and letting Him have control over our lives. You know, we're not to be drunk with wine, but we're to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. What does that mean? Well, listen, when you drink wine and you fill yourself with that, guess what? Guess what's in control of you? Oh, that alcohol, it gets a hold of your body, and it'll make you go all kinds of crazy ways. And so Paul is saying this, listen, you're not to be influenced by wine, rather be influenced by the Holy Spirit. Let go and let God take control of your life and yield to the Spirit of God as you take in the Word of God. And so Peter, as he deals with this subject, he says, listen, we need to add to our faith virtue. One of the things that we decided is this, that our purpose in this life, and I hope you understand what your purpose is, because that drives everything else. Our purpose in this life is to glorify God. And I think this, the sooner we figure that out, the better off we are in this life. You know, I'm thankful for the young ones that are being instructed in the Word of God, because listen, they've got an opportunity at this age to figure out that, listen, I'm here to glorify God. And it doesn't have to be that they make a wreck of their lives before they figure that out. Listen, they can start from knee-high moving forward for the cause of Christ and live all their days for the glory of God. And who knows what God can accomplish through one person that's wholly given to Him, as D.L. Moody said many, many years ago. Jesus said this, that our light is to shine before men. It's to shine before men. And that they may see your good works, and guess what? Glorify your God, our God, which is in heaven. So first of all, the first Roman numeral that we had in our notes, if you're taking notes, is number one, there is a responsibility of virtue. The responsibility of virtue. And I said this, that not every Christian will take up the mantle to courageously do what's right. And friends, I'm telling you, you don't need to measure yourselves by others. You need to measure yourself by Christ. And so there's a responsibility that God has given to us as His children to walk worthy of the calling which wherewith He has called us. And so we're to walk in a way that pleases Him. Now, did anybody write down some positive examples of in Scripture of folks courageously doing what was right? Anybody write down any of those? Take any time to look at that? I mentioned two last time. It was David and Daniel. If nobody has, I would encourage you to think through. Think through your treasure trove of biblical knowledge and just think about those in the hall of faith and perhaps others enumerated in Scripture who gave great examples of courageously doing what was right, even in the face of the world calling them to do other things. And so we had two examples. We had the example of David. Of course, we had the example of Daniel as well. And so we said this, number one, under this responsibility, number one, God has called us to virtue. Verse number three tells us, through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and to virtue. Then we said this, not only are we called to glory and virtue, but we said that we are commanded to glory and virtue. We're commanded to live a virtuous life. Now, I understand it should be good enough that God has called us to that life, but as we know ourselves, we understand this, that God has to tell us, look, this is not optional for the Christian life. You are to live courageously for Christ Jesus. Then we got to the second point, and this is where we stopped last time, Roman numeral number two, the report of virtue, the report of virtue. Now here's the truth of the matter is if you courageously do what's right, if you live virtuously, folks around you will know it. Folks around you will know it. And I'm just telling you, if you're going to live as a light in this world, you cannot help but impact the darkness that's around you. And this is why the simple truth is sometimes you'll find this, that people will split ways with you. Why? Because you're being a light in this world. And the light, guess what it does? It reproves and rebukes darkness. And so sometimes it is. You're going to find that people will separate paths from you. Why? Because you're courageously doing what's right. Oftentimes, when a Christian first trusts in Christ as their Savior, and perhaps later in life they have many friends who are not saved of times past, and what ends up happening as they draw closer to Christ, guess what happens? There begins to be a divide there between associations of their past life and in their new life in Christ. There begins to be a separation there. And so one thing that Paul told us is this, is that living virtuous, this was the last point we had, will bring persecution. It'll bring persecution. Now, I don't just bring that up to make it sound like that, listen, you're just going to suffer as a Christian, but listen, this is what's taught in the Word of God. And so if God pinned it down for us that, listen, you're going to suffer persecution, He put it there for us to have knowledge of these things before they take place so that we're aptly prepared for those things, as we don't look at them as some strange thing that's happened to us. But listen, you're going to suffer persecution. The last verse I left you with was 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10 through 13. And you'll remember how Paul was investing in the life of Timothy. And as he was giving his final words to Timothy, he said, listen, you know how I've taught, you know how I've lived, you know the things that I've suffered in this life, how it is that the Jews have rejected me and evil things have come about. But he says, listen, Timothy, if you're going to live the courageous Christian life, just know this, all those that live godly in Christ Jesus, notice the words, shall suffer persecution. Now listen, that persecution can come in many forms, and we probably understand this if you've been a Christian longer than a day, but sometimes persecution can even come from within your family circle, close friends and family. Oftentimes, persecution might come at the workplace. Sometimes it is that persecution may come from the form of government that exists. I think of Christians in places where it's not an open country and they may experience persecution because of the gospel. Guess what? You might experience persecution from other religions. I know there's places in this world that maybe follow after Buddhism or Islam or things like that. And guess what? Christians in those countries suffer persecution from other quote-unquote religions because of their courageously doing right, their virtuous living. But the second thing, here's your blank that you didn't have from last week, is not only in the report of virtue it will bring persecution, but secondly, know this, this is a positive thing. It will bring positive influence. It will bring positive influence. As I mentioned at the very beginning, I gave you an example in the Old Testament of a woman whose name Virtuous. Does anybody remember who that woman is? Raise your hand. Yes, ma'am. Ruth, that's right. Now, this isn't Pastor James calling her virtuous. This is the Bible naming her as virtuous. Actually, from Boaz. You remember, Ruth is named by Boaz as a woman who courageously did right. He called her virtuous. But notice what Boaz says about Ruth. I find this very interesting. He says this in Ruth chapter 3 and verse number 11. He says, "And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest." And this was, of course, her her request to be betrothed to Boaz, to be lifted up by this matter of the kinsman redeemer. You'll remember. And he says, "I'm going to do what you requirest." But here's the reason why. You ready for it? He says, "For all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman." Did you catch what Boaz said? Boaz isn't just saying, "Here's my opinion of you. I believe you're a virtuous woman." Now, he was in effect saying that, but here's what he said. He said, "Every person you've come in contact with, everyone in this city, they know who you are and what your manner of life is. They know what kind of person you are." Can I tell you this, Christian? Guess what? People know who you are as well. You might say it this way, they have your number. They understand if you're courageously doing right, or they understand if you're not courageously doing right. Now, we oftentimes have our windows open at our house, and guess what we see? We see all around us people walking in the neighborhood doing different things. With people open their garages, you can see right into their garages. You see all the stuff that's in there or not in there. I mean, you can see when they cut the grass, when they don't cut the grass. And guess what? We see them just like they see us. And I'm just telling you that you will bring positive influence. In other words, you'll draw people to Christ by courageously doing right. You know what today that young people are flocking to? Authentic Christianity. You know what they don't want any more of? Fake Christianity. They've had it up to here of folks saying one thing and doing something completely different. You know what they're attracted to? Why was it? And I don't know, I'm not vouching for Charlie Kirk, I don't know too much about him, but they're looking for someone who is an authentic Christian, someone who lives what it is that they say. And that's what I'm saying, courageously doing what's right. Listen, you'll have a sphere of influence around you that God gives to you where you can impact the lives of all those around you for Christ. It'll have a positive influence. Listen, if you have children, you know this. Your children are learning and watching your every move. Listen, you'll find out as Mason gets older, right? Some of the things, unfortunately, parents are raising their children and perhaps they do one thing and they're not intending for their child to copy that one thing, but next thing you know, here comes the child. And guess what they're doing? Exactly what mom and dad were doing. And parents step back and say, "Oh, maybe I need to change my behavior a little bit in what I do." And so all I'm saying is courageously doing what's right will have a positive influence. Ruth's influence was, according to Boaz, to the entire city. How many of you like to have an influence to the entire city of Snow Hill? How many of you like to positively influence the entire city of Snow Hill? I sure would. Listen, everywhere I go, I want to be known as a follower of Christ. I want to positively influence. Now, they might not like what I stand for, or may not believe the same thing I do, but one thing I do want them to know is I follow after Christ, and I love Him and His Word. And I think of that. How would it be if there was a testimony of all the Christians that were part of Liberty Baptist Church, every one of us, every one of us, not just those on Wednesday night, but every one of us that comes here to Liberty Baptist Church, what would it be like if all hundreds of us left out of here and courageously did what was right all the time? Boy, I wonder, this city would be turned inside out, upside down, left and right, and every which way. It'd be an amazing thing. When we live according to God's ways, we have a positive influence on others. So we see the responsibility of virtue. Then we have the report of virtue. And then lastly, as I close, I want to talk about the reward of virtue. The reward of virtue. Is there a benefit to living this way? Is there a benefit? Can I tell you the answer is a resounding yes. A resounding yes. Can I tell you that if you want to make a mess of your life, if you want to make a mess of your life, I'm an expert in that. You just go the way you want to go. You just make all your decisions for yourself. Be completely self-driven, self-centered, self-focused, and you'll make a mess of your life. I can guarantee it. You know why? Because you're dependent upon fallen flesh. That's why. And if you want to make a mess of your life, then just go the way of the world. Listen to all the influencers on social media. Listen to what everybody has to say in those minutes in between you're watching that show on the TV. Just listen to what the world has to say. It's kind of like I was just thinking about, again tonight, the front of the box of the game of life, your way. Listen, that's a worldly philosophy. In other words, you just do what you want to do because it's your life anyways. Listen, you're not your own if you're a child of God. You've been bought with a price. And therefore, you're to glorify God both in your body and your spirit, which are God's. It's not your life, your way. It's His life, and it's His way. It's the exact opposite, isn't it? And so, if we want to make a mess of our life, then just listen to the lies of the devil. And by the way, he'll tell you plenty of lies. He'll tell you really anything you want to hear, as long as he can get you to go the wrong direction. But if you want to live the most abundant, fruitful life possible, abundant life, fruitful life, full of joy, have the peace of God, then here's what you do. You follow after what God declares is right. Follow after. By the way, this does not mean that it's easy. I'm not going to ever stand up here and say the Christian life is easy. I will tell you it's simple. Just go God's way. It's simple, but it's not easy. It's the most rewarding life, though. How many have learned this, that sometimes the easiest things are not the most valuable? You ever figure that out? If you want something of value, it costs you something. It takes something to grab a hold of that thing of value. And friend, listen, the devil sells an easy wooden nickel every day. And it says, hey, just go this path. It's the easiest path. It's the path of least resistance. It's the path everybody else is going on. Just go this way. Look how much fun they're having. Look how much fun they're having. Friends, listen, I'm not telling you it's an easy life, but I'll tell you this. It's the most rewarding life. The Christian life is of great value. In fact, ladies, you know this. If you've studied Proverbs 31, how many of you have delved into Proverbs 31 a little bit? Now understand all those different areas. Man, it's phenomenal, isn't it? What a picture. But it tells us this, that the virtuous woman, listen carefully, is more valuable than anything the world can offer. It's more valuable than rubies, more valuable than gold, more valuable than any of those things, the virtuous woman. Of course, that's a figurative way that Proverbs states it, that she's of immense and of great value. Every one of us here tonight, every one of us want our lives to matter for Christ. And I believe that. I believe you wouldn't be here on a Wednesday night prayer and Bible study if that weren't the case. Every one of us want our lives to matter for Christ. And I believe that's why we're here. So there's two ways you're going to be rewarded. Are you ready for these two ways? If you'll write them down. Number one, you will be rewarded by God. That's the first way. Perhaps the most important way. Every one of us, Not a person can exclude themselves from this tonight. Every one of us have an appointment with God. Every one of us. And I'm reminded of the serious words of God through the prophet Amos. He was talking to the nation of Israel at a time when they would not repent. They would not turn. They would not turn to Him. And so in the strongest terms possible, Amos, as a farmer preacher, is speaking to them. And he says the words of God. He says, I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. And ye were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. And then he says, therefore thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, notice the words, he says, prepare to meet thy God. The truth of the matter is every one of us should prepare to meet our God. Every one of us should have on the front of our minds this thought that at any moment, at any time, I can meet God face to face in a different way than what He is present with me at this very moment. So that's a fact of the matter. And this was God's declaration to His erring people, but the application is for you and I today is simply this. You say, well, that was Israel. Well, the truth is still the same. Listen, we're to prepare to meet our God. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, listen to the language of Scripture as Paul put it. He says, for we, that's you and I, that's Christians. He's talking to the church of Corinth, but he's talking to Christians. He says, for we must, notice the next word, all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one of us may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And friends, Charles Spurgeon said it this way, there's no crown wearers where there were not cross bearers on earth. We'll repeat that again. There are no crown wearers where there are no cross bearers on earth. In other words, listen, don't expect to be getting all these crowns from the Lord Jesus at the Bema Seat of Christ if you're not willing to courageously do what is right. And so God has promised this to reward us at His judgment for living according to His ways. And I say this, that's just a cherry on top of the sundae He's already given us. It's enough He's given us eternal life. It's enough that we get to enter into heaven's gates and be with Him for all of eternity. But listen, He's not only given us that, but He's going to reward us for doing what's right. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? And so we'll be rewarded by God, but then secondly, you'll be rewarded by man. You'll be rewarded by man. Now, I realize not all men are going to reward you, but listen to this statement, Proverbs 12 and verse number 4. Listen carefully. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. She that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. One Bible teacher said it this way, a crown brings honor, does it not? A crown brings splendor. A crown brings dignity to its wearer. And so virtue, courageously doing what's right, brings these things to the Christian as well. And so I think about the testimony of men and ladies in this local church. We could name them who have over and over the long years lived courageously and done right. You look at their lives, you look at the folks around, you look at the folks in this local church and the generational aspect of it, and here's what you'll discover. It is because they chose to do courageously what was right that influenced others to be here at this local church. You see, there's a crown of glory for those who courageously do right. And that means they have been courageously doing right over the long haul. We're not talking about perfection here. We're not talking about folks who've never made any mistakes. We're talking about Christians who've said yes to the Lord and over again through their lives have continually strived to be doing right before the Lord. what a crown of honor and glory really, does is this, is it is something for you and I to cast at the feet of Jesus. It is a benefit to this local church for every one of us to courageously do that which is right. The more Christians that we have at Liberty Baptist courageously doing what's right, the more influence we'll have in this area. So this first area of the Christian life, you and I must add to our faith what? Virtue. Virtue. We must increase in this virtue. We see, first of all, it is the responsibility of the Christian. Number two, we see further that it will be known of all those around us. The report of virtue will be known by all those around us. And then lastly, can I say this? There is great reward for you and I doing what's right. The application question is this. Here it is. Here's where the rubber meets the road as we close this lesson out. Are you going to commit as a Christian, not to Pastor James, but to the Lord, to courageously do what's right? Friend, I'll just tell you, you live to the Lord, you die to the Lord. Whether you live or die, you are the Lord's. So if you're going to make a commitment, don't make it to me. Make it to the Lord Himself that, listen, from this point on, I'm going to courageously do what is right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, help us this next week to see that this is connected to the very next thing, which is that matter of knowledge. And Lord, I pray, Father, that we would understand that not only are we to courageously do what's right, but we're to learn what those right things are. And we'll find that through the Word of God and through knowing You. So, Father, help us. Lord, I pray, Father, for this first lesson, just to think this, am I courageously doing what's right? Father, if the answer is anything but yes, Father, I pray it is that You would help us and guide us and direct us into that path of fruitful Christian living. And Lord, we'll just thank You and we give You all the praise, honor, and glory for it. We ask these things in Your Son's name. Amen. Well, if you look this way,